You are listening to Sparking Wholeness with Erin Carey, where we talk about all things related to nutrition for mind, body, and soul. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, everybody, it's Erin Carey. Welcome back to Sparking Wholeness. Today, I am sitting down with Amy Campbell. She is a functional health consultant who specializes in women's hormone balance and supporting gut health. She has a Bachelor of Science in Nursing and over 10 years of experience as a nurse. She recently submitted her final exam for her Applied Functional Medicine certification. By this episode airs, I feel pretty confident, and this is just my aside, not reading from the bio, I feel pretty confident that she will be a completely certified Applied Functional Medicine practitioner. So I'm just going to throw that out there. Amy works with women to get to the root cause of their health struggles. She understands the complex interconnectedness of our bodies and considers the whole person while taking an individualized approach with each client. She combines science-based research, sustainable lifestyle practices, and individual goals to achieve long-lasting wellness. When Amy isn't deep into health reports and client consults, she is living the up and down roller coaster life as an Air Force wife to her husband, Matt, and part-time homeschooling mom to her two daughters. So Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Erin. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on. I've wanted to have you on for a while, and then life. And I was doing my own test and exam and just trying to scrape by getting people on the show. But we met through our tribe mastermind is what they called it, through the School of Applied Functional Medicine. We were in the same group both times. So So tell me a little bit about one of the things that I love about functional medicine. Everybody has a story with how they got into functional medicine, especially those with a medical background. And you have 10 years of experience as a nurse. And so I'm interested to know about your story and how you got into the functional world.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to make this not a long story, but I did go to college for nursing, got my bachelor's in nursing, worked as a nurse for about 10 years. And during that time, actually early on in that career, I had a side hustle as a photographer. So I had this creative side and this the medical side. And after a while, I stepped away from the medical side because I really had that more passion for photography. And as you read, I'm a military spouse. So moving so often, it was hard to get babysitters and keep my license up. And around 2020, not necessarily because of COVID, but because of some of our life things that we were going through, I was also feeling like photography wasn't serving our family anymore for some of those same reasons, because we were moving so much. And I had been going through, I stepped into the infertility world, I guess, in 2016, I had a miscarriage. And then in 2018, we adopted our now 5-year-old. So we had our first child and then we adopted. And so I had been kind of on this road of, working with doctors and not getting answers. We were not successful in our infertility treatments. And I heard like my sister-in-law, she stopped eating gluten and then she got pregnant a year later. And I'm like, little things here and there I would hear along the way. And I just decided I need more answers. The doctors were just saying, you need to do IVF. That's all we can do for you. They literally did like a few blood tests, an ultrasound, and maybe a little testing on my husband. And that was it. I'm like, nope, there's got to be more to this. So that was my entrance into a more holistic thought in this world. I did not go on to have any other successful pregnancies. However, I learned so much in how we need to care about our body and what that was saying about my body. And so fast forward then in about 2020, 2021, we were moving a lot. What I was doing wasn't serving our family business-wise. And I was like, I need something that I can take with me. We moved so much. And I was really passionate about women's health and how what I was doing was working for me. And a friend of mine was going to the School of Applied Functional Medicine. And that just was really resonating with me, how they were just, they went so deep into how our body works. Mm-hmm. And everything that I was just reading was just, I was resonating with it so much. And I was like, that is what I want to do. That is how I want to approach health and medicine and helping people. So I dove in and joined the school. I am not currently a nurse because as a licensed nurse, it doesn't give me any sort of extra benefit to helping people. And again, we move so often that it really just is kind of more of a headache for me to deal with. So I operate as a health coach. And with that, I can educate and inspire and help empower women to make their body be better, help their bodies. I can't say the word heal.
Right.
I want to say that. But, just helping them be their best and live their best life and address some of these things that they're dealing with that they're not getting answers for it from the doctors or, the conventional people that they're seeing. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. You mentioned that. I always try to say, okay, I can't heal, treat, or cure, but I can help you support your unique body in the way that your body really needs the support. Yes. And with that, I mean, we're talking about an epidemic of women who, and I think the awareness is it's starting to change. We're definitely better than the boomer generation. I do see quite a few older women who are starting to become more aware of things than they ever have been. But we have women who are just running on autopilot, right? And like just especially depending on the mom life, the work life, the both life, we just ignore symptoms and we keep pressing forward and we think that irregular cycles are normal and we think that not being able to sleep at night is normal and we think GI issues are normal. And
because we end up going to our doctor, maybe having this like little question, and we need to trust that those intuitions, trust your gut, those feelings that you're having, but we go to where we think we should be seeking help and we don't get any, or we're told that's normal, or we're giving a medication to take care of the symptoms, but mask the root of what is causing it. And most people go through life thinking that is the standard of healthcare. Mm-hmm. And that's how it is. And the boomer generation, I've been working with my mother-in-law and my mom a lot, is getting, trying to remove some of those ingrained thoughts of health and the foods we eat or the medications we take, and looking at it from a different lens and a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what would you say to somebody who, because I know one of the big parts of our training is that anything that you take, any medication you take can create some deficiencies. So how do you address that with people? Because that's a really fine line. And even, I mean, just being, fully transparent on the podcast, I struggle to talk about it on here because I want to make sure nobody feels shame for taking medication. And there are benefits to some things. And sometimes we need support that's medical. And I mean, you know that. It's a fine line to discuss. So how do you address that?
Yeah. I mean, it's not always, it's either medication could be depleting nutrients, but maybe the medication is necessary. So then do we need to come in and support versus like, is it a medication that maybe we could, that maybe it's masking and it's not necessary once you bring in some of these other changes and you might be able to remove the medication. Obviously, all of that has to be done in partnership with their provider, and trust has to be built between you and your client, the provider and you, and the provider and the client. So it's a team effort, but providing the educational piece and just to support the client where they're at, where they're comfortable, and then just bringing on those other options and talking through those and, whatever they're comfortable with and knowing that it might not be this quick switch. It might be something slowly that they're going to have to dip their toe into and experience as they go. But everyone's a little different in how you would go about that.
Absolutely. It is so individual. And speaking of individual, this is a really great place to pause and thank our sponsor for today's episode. Today's episode is sponsored by OneSkin. Now, on this episode, we've been discussing a functional medicine approach to getting to the root of our chronic health issues and how to address our individual unique bodies in different ways. And treating the symptoms rather than the root causes of aging has long been the norm in skincare. Most skincare available on the market is designed to provide a temporary reduction in visible signs of aging, addressing just the surface symptoms of an underlying decline in skin health. Well, in the spirit of treating the root, OneSkin is here to help simplify your skincare regimen by getting to the root cause. It is founded by four PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. OneSkin proves that you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their topical supplements make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without all the extra steps. For me, that's huge. I don't want to have anything complicated, anything that's going to keep me from feeling efficient, and this product is extremely efficient. Check this out. OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide is the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent cells. These are notorious zombie cells. We've talked about this in an episode before. They contribute to skin aging. So fewer zombie cells means healthier, younger looking skin with fewer lines and wrinkles, reduced age spots, and a stronger natural barrier. Something that is so important this time of year and so important for me as I am in the over 40 category and I should have been taking care of my skin a long time ago and I didn't. One of the things that really appeals to me about OneSkin is that they're committed to safe ingredients. I have been so excited to try these products out because when I went on the website and saw that they're 100% free from fragrance, parabens, sulfates, lanolin, heavy metals, and so much more, they're made with the highest quality of ingredients and they're safe for my sensitive skin. And y'all, I've got some crazy sensitive skin right now. I was sold. I could not wait to try these products. I have the OS1 Face Topical Supplement that is the first skin longevity treatment scientifically proven to target the root cause of skin aging. So my skin feels healthier and looks younger, and I will always take that. I also have the Eye Topical Supplement. This peptide eye cream is formulated with the highest concentration of the OS1 peptide to help target aging at the molecular level. And did you know, in a third-party 12-week clinical study performed by third-party research organization, OS1 Face was clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier, improve skin health markers, and diminish visible signs of aging. In fact, wrinkles were diminished in 87% of users. And I can't wait for you to try it for yourself. OneSkin is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code SPARK at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code SPARK. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support this show and tell them that I sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. Now, Amy, getting back to this topic of getting to the root cause of health issues, you know, for me, it has been just absolutely transformative to target the root cause of my health issues. And even for my youngest, when we discovered an integrative functional medicine approach, completely changed our lives. When I get my annual labs done, I'm able to look for things that are in an optimal range instead of just viewing things from a normal reference range, because I think that's sometimes where we get hung up. Just because something is normal doesn't mean that it's optimal for you. What would you say to somebody who goes to their doctor and they get their labs done? And I hear this all the time, right? Oh, my doctor says everything's fine. Everything's normal. But they're seeing you and me because they don't feel normal, right?
Yeah.
So how do you address so that?
Typically, my part is the awareness, the education, and the support. And so I'm just bringing them like the knowledge that I know and looking through these labs from a different perspective and just pointing out where I know there could be some insufficiencies, where, you know, optimally, where we want some of our nutrients to hit, how some of these hormones work interconnectedly instead of just in just your thyroid or just your cortisol. And so being aware of like how they're affecting each other instead of just looking at one aspect. So we kind of step back and then bring in this whole picture to try to educate the client on what their labs could really mean, in along with their symptoms too. We want to make sure that we're honoring the symptoms that they're having, because the blood work is not always going to be reflective of the symptoms as well. So we want to bring those in together as puzzle pieces.
Yes, they're all puzzle pieces. And sometimes you need different labs. Like you run GIMAP, you do Dutch, and you do HTMA, which I really want to ask about that, because that is one I have not gotten into. And I'm just recently beginning into Dutch more and more. So let's talk about Dutch hormone testing. What do you love it? What is it? And what do you love about it?
So the Dutch test is testing for hormones. It's a urine sample, and it's also testing for cortisol levels. What I really love about it is that it's not just a single value of, you know, if your estrogen, your hormones are high or low, same with cortisol, but it shows how our body is processing those hormones. So it shows pathways. And so like you could have high estrogen, and if you showed that in your blood, someone might address that, not knowing why you have high estrogen. Is it relative to the progesterone? Is it because your body's making too much? Is it because it's not detoxing the estrogen? And same with the cortisol. We can have cortisol if you are overweight, heavier, obese individuals can have more cortisol in their fat tissue. But it's not going to show that in just a saliva test. And we can see that more when we see the breakdown of how our body's metabolizing cortisol and relative to maybe the amount of cortisol we have. That can also point us to maybe how our thyroid is doing, whether or not we're able to process the cortisol. If our thyroid is not working sufficiently, we might have issues in that realm too with cortisol. So it just really gives us a deeper picture and a deeper understanding of how those hormones are working than just a single marker on a blood test.
Yeah. And it looks a little, when I first started digging into the reports, it looks a little crazy. So if anybody wants to go and look up a Dutch sample report, it looks wild. And I have watched some of the training videos over and over again, because even with all of my training, I still want to make sure that I'm understanding the difference between cortisol, cortisone, you know, it goes into that and the different types of estrogen. And to your, what you were saying, how estrogen is metabolized is different for everybody. And that can indicate what the liver is doing. And I think it's even a really cool picture, because if our liver is so focused on detoxifying from excess carbs, sugar, or alcohol, I mean, hello, you know, or any other toxin exposure, then estrogen kind of gets the, you know, backseat. And so it can really, we can struggle. And it even gives us, like what you said about obesity, it even gives us a bigger picture of what our fat cells do for us as far as like storing and then becoming pro-estrogenic and pro, what would we say, cortisol, pro-stress.
Pro-stress hormone,
I mean, I think that that for some people, it could be really validating. Now, what about, here's one question I have, because I've run into this a little bit. Our symptoms tell such a story. So like, even for me, I'm, again, being fully transparent here, I have not run a Dutch test on myself, because I know my progesterone is like, I'm fully perimenopausal and my progesterone has like hit rock bottom. I have all of the symptoms. And so I'm doing all the things that I know to do to support my stress, to support my adrenals, to support my lack of progesterone and the fact that I'm probably estrogen dominant as a result of that. So what do you do when you know that somebody has the symptoms? I mean, do you still run the test? Like that's where I struggle.
Yeah. Typically, I don't necessarily run these tests off the bat. I like to do a full blood panel when I work with clients to get an initial picture. And we'll jump into the HTMA maybe too, but that's also a good kind of intro, similar to the blood work, where it's not super expensive. It can tell us a lot and it gives us a starting point. And I will work with clients, you know, there's even just symptoms in general. There's so many things that we can usually do in the first 1 to 2 months of working with each other. A lot of foundational lifestyle things. And so when we're finding that we're not getting the results that we are expecting, then we might jump into something like this to, if, you know, if we're thinking it could be, you know, hormonal or something like that, we can jump into that. Now, I will say I had a client recently who had a lot of estrogen dominant symptoms. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you know, her Dutch test was, she was below the level for estrogen and normal for progesterone. And so I'm like, all right, what's going on here? Because this is not what I was expecting.
That's interesting.
So although there's definitely something to consider and address here, it was not what I was expecting. Mm-hmm. And if I would have gone just off symptoms, I might have been putting her on, you know, suggested something that would help her detox estrogen, and here her estrogen's low. So, we want to be, it's a fine line. You can do both. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously budget comes into play, and we want to support the client with what resonates with them. And, at whatever moment that is in the time you're working together. So,
I think that's a really good way to look at it. Cause there are a lot of things that we can support with lifestyle before, especially for people who are like, oh, I want to do the labs, but they're kind of expensive and insurance doesn't cover mm-hmm. it. We can use health savings card for sure. For you use Avexia as well, right?
Yes.
And so there are options there, but I know a lot of people, they struggle to go, oh, how do I justify a $300 test? You know? So tell me about hair tissue mineral analysis and how you got into that and why you love it.
Yeah. It kind of came full circle because when I first started going to a chiropractor back when it was like literally December, the infertility doctors said, there's nothing else we can do for you. And then January, I'm like, I'm going to go get a second opinion. And I started working with a chiropractor and he did a hair tissue mineral analysis test. And I had no idea what it was. And even now years later, I was like, oh yeah, that's what he was doing. And so I can resonate with it more, but what it is doing, you take a sample of your hair close to your scalp and, it can give you about like a 3-month average. It's versus like blood generally is day of, it can be affected, you know, change day to day, hour to hour. Because our body is really good about keeping our blood stable. But with hair, we can test, it gives us a good like 3-month average of things. And so what it's testing for is mineral status. It's also testing for if you have any heavy metals in your hair tissue. And we can use that information to understand how our different parts of our body are working that help to manage mineral levels, like our adrenals, help manage our sodium and potassium and different hormones. And then we can also see if we're in a cycle of burnout or if we're maybe more in a sympathetic dominant state, or if our thyroid is struggling. For minerals are spark plugs to our everything. They help us produce stomach acid, they help our heart work, they help give us energy. So they also affect like how hormones will enter the cell in the body, like thyroid hormone going into the cell. So if we're having like, if we have, for instance, good thyroid, normal thyroid labs from the doctor that said everything looks good. But our calcium's off. It could affect the way the thyroid hormone that we have good levels of is getting into the cell where it takes its effect. Mm-hmm. So you can tweak by not just supplementing with minerals, like replacement of minerals. And there's a lot of science in this, and I don't want to go too deep, but minerals can work against each other or they can support each other. And so understanding how those work in play and how you can boost minerals based on other minerals or other things that you can take. Also, lifestyle comes into it too. It's an inexpensive test compared to all the other tests I take. It's actually the cheapest of the ones that I offer.
What company do you use?
So the one I use is Trace Elements. Okay. There's another one called, it's like ARL, analytical research labs, maybe is the other one. There's two main ones. There's others. I think Avexia does have some other ones that Doctors Data might do one. But generally they all can have a few different markers and the way that they run the test. So the ARL and the TEI are the two that are in the industry are most trusted, most reliable.
What's the age of that? Could you do this with kids?
Yes. Yes, you can do it with kids. You do have to take into account that kids will oftentimes, because they have a higher metabolism than adults. So sometimes you have to take that account in with their results, because they might be, they call them slow, fast metabolizers or slow metabolizers, and they might come up fast, and you don't want to necessarily, you know, address that. But yeah, you can see, you can definitely test kids. And this is one that when you start to make changes based on the results through supplementation, through lifestyle, you can see changes in another 3 months. So typically people will retest 3 to 6 months after their first. And the really interesting thing is when they start to do the protocol, after a few months and they retest, you'll see some of the, when they're making improvements, you'll see these heavy metals start to go up. And you would think that's bad because it would show more heavy metal in your body, but it's actually your body is excreting it into the hair. It's getting rid of it. And when it was, and it, when they were like not even showing up, it was because your body wasn't healthy enough to let it go. It wants to naturally hold on to metals to stay, it's like it to stay safe.
Yeah.
And until you nourish your body and you deal with stress and trauma, your body can't just release it and let it go. And once you do, you'll start to see those metals come up in the hair, which is really neat to see. And that usually is reflective of, supportive of symptoms improving too.
And that's interesting that you mentioned nourishing your body, dealing with stress and trauma, and then your body's able to release. And I think that that's, that in itself right there is such a powerful statement for how our body protects us when we are going through. And I think so many women have just been storing. I always like to say, we don't have an obesity epidemic. We have a stress and toxin epidemic, because our fat cells are just holding on to everything, because who knows what's going to happen next.
It's a really good place to store. And it's, they're storing to protect us too. It's a good place to put toxins to protect our organs and protect our body.
And protect our brain. So, like, I'm like, I'd rather have fat in my hips and booty than in my brain. That's awesome. And so it is something, because I get that question a lot, like when I do something like Dutch, or I've been nerding out on metabolomics. I don't know if you've looked at that one yet. It's organic acids testing. So much fun.
Yes.
But people will ask, you know, do I need to retest? I'm like, gosh, it's, and same thing with food sensitivities. Like, these are expensive tests. They're not cheap. So with this HTMA, it seems affordable enough to where they could retest and be able to see the changes.
Yeah, because that's the thing, is you will see change on it if you are doing the work. You don't, if you're not doing the work, you're not going to see anything. And so it almost keeps you accountable.
Yeah.
When you know you're going to take a retest and you want to see, you know, that you're making progress, that you're actually putting the work in. So
what are the, for sure. What are the recommendations then that you give people? I mean, I know it's very individual based on the test, but what are your top recommendations?
So typically I'm dealing with clients who are in that, like, going through stress and burnout. And so we're doing a lot of supportive things in that aspect. And it's not just like, let's do adrenal cocktails. You know, a lot of times their sodium potassium's really low because their adrenals are burned out. And we want to support that, but it's not just about having your electrolytes every day and, you know, making sure you're eating enough salt, but why are you depleting of those things? It's probably not necessarily because you're not consuming it all. It's because you are overworking yourself and overstressed and not taking care of yourself. You're not sleeping good. There also might be an aspect of nutritionally wise, they're not getting their nutrients because their stomach acid is low. So a lot of times we see that reflective in the HTMA as well. And so I'm always working on foundations. Part of my program gets them started right away on working on their slowing down when they're eating, making sure they're chewing their food, just honoring that process and nourishing their body. And then sleep is usually a huge one. Most of my clients are not taking care of themselves in that area. Balancing blood sugar, sometimes you don't, honestly, like you don't even need to sometimes look at these HTMAs because we're going to do these things regardless because people, yeah. But you'll notice when making those little bits of change in your body that we see improvements in HTMA, but the HTMA helps us see that those are things that need to be addressed.
Yeah. Well, and I think that labs can be validating, especially for somebody who has gone to their general practitioner and is like, yeah, I feel awful. And they're like, oh, well, everything's fine. You're in the normal reference range. And then when they see somebody with a functional medicine perspective or do a functional lab, it can be helpful to go, oh, wait, this is really validating that I don't feel well. And this is showing up in depletions. Like I feel like my body's depleted, but I really am depleted. And I think that can be very validating, especially for women, because I mean, women were only included in clinical trials in the 90s. And so we still have a lot of gains to being seen in the medical world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. And I have my own story to tell. And so I feel like, you know, I've been there. I know what it is like, and I can speak from that perspective. And so just being supportive in that and with the people that I'm working with, I think is huge.
Yeah. So let's talk for a minute about the importance of balancing blood sugar, because I feel like this is probably something you and I both preach a lot with people, but I don't know if we've talked about it enough on the show, but it really, I mean, yeah. I was just reading last night, I'm reading the new, Change Your Diet, Change Your Brain. I don't know if you've seen that. It's Dr. Georgia Ead. She's a nutritional psychiatrist, and she's really big on just basically every single chronic disease we have right now is based on insulin resistance. And she does a chain of interconnectedness that we learn at SAFM, which is like, we can really follow a path to show that basically every chronic disease has to do with some level of insulin resistance. And she's thinking about it from like a psychiatry perspective. And I think that's fascinating. So what do you recommend? I mean, how do you get people, bring people awareness about how important their stabilizing their blood sugar is?
Well, I will think back about me being in this position was the first time I worked with the chiropractor, and he did these tests, and he said, you should probably watch your carbs. And that was the first time anyone's really like said anything to me. And I wouldn't say that I was overweight. I worked out occasionally, like not a ton, but so I'm an all in, you know, type of person, all in, all or nothing. That's the better term, all or nothing type of person. And I said, so like, what do you mean? Like I should go keto? 'Cause he said no carb. And so he's like, well, yeah, but you could have some corn or something. This is like the start of my, like all of this. So I didn't know better. Like, all right, I can have corn. So I could have like corn, whatever, chips, tortillas, but I cut out like all grains, all carbs. And I went keto. I'm sure I did it horribly because I would have all the cheese, all the milk, all the dairy, right. All the fat.
Dirty keto. Yeah.
Yes. But I lost weight. So I was like, all right, I'm doing the right thing. But I was so tired still. And I was also doing HIIT workouts. So like, talk about probably not a good situation, right? So I look at that and I go, that I think is what a lot of people like think about when they're like, I should cut carbs. I should be taking care of my body. Yep. I'm doing all the right things. And they still feel like junk, right? So I'm looking at it from more of a nourishing perspective. Are we are we stressing out our body because we're fasting and we're working out hard, too hard? Are we versus like doing, going on walks, going to yoga class, doing just like weightlifting, like good low intensity, but weightlifting, especially as women, as we get older. That in turn is going to help balance our blood sugar with increasing our muscle to fat ratio. Yeah, muscle. Yeah. What am I trying to say?
Muscle synthesis of glucose. Yeah.
Yes. And then as far as like the foods we're eating, I mean, we're just eating so much processed stuff. Mm-hmm. And if someone really like did one of those apps, like MyFitnessPal, I think I'll do that. And even it's hard to not have that little pie shape thing show you that most of your calories are coming from carbs. It is really hard, mm-hmm. but we're also wanting to know like, okay, what carbs are good carbs? What carbs are bad carbs?
Yeah.
Broccoli is a carb, believe it or not. So is a bowl of pasta or a slice of bread. So like we can have carbs, but we want to make sure that we're eating carbs that are really nourishing to our body, that aren't going to spike our blood sugar, that have fiber with them as well. Serving those with some avocado. So we're having fat with it too. So I look at all of these aspects of my clients' lifestyle and how they're taking care of their body and how they're nourishing their body. And we make these tweaks so that they can have good balance in blood sugar, that their body can help regulate it. And ultimately then they don't have those cravings for the bowls of pasta or the bowls of ice cream or the cookies. And they feel really good after they do some of these movements, exercise, like the functional movement type of mm-hmm. workouts that are just really good for their body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh, I'm a former cardio junkie and I'm a former carb and sugar lover. And so, yeah. And I had it so backwards because when I started my quote health journey, probably 16, 17 years ago, it was training for a half marathon and eating Weight Watchers, which is super low calorie. And I could have anything as long as it was 0 points. So any diet food, are you ready? This is so fun. I've never shared this one on the podcast before, but I would make a Diet Coke cake, can of Diet Coke and any kind of cake mix. You just mix it together. I mean, it's pure chemicals, but it's like zero Weight Watchers points. And I would mix Fiber One cereal with chocolate chips. And I would make these little, it created bowel regularity for sure. But it's like, I would find all these hacks to just make things low calorie. And I, you know, we all do this with good intent. And I actually, it did help me to become more aware of what I was eating. But then I realized, when I started learning more about gut health and micronutrients, like what nutrients am I getting in my food if all I'm focused on is calories? And typically it's processed stuff that's been, has so many shelf stable fillers and things added that my poor gut was like, what are you doing to me? Like, is this even real
food?
And your
liver is dealing with all of that.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
And downstream also affects how our body can regulate blood sugar.
Yes. And so then, so if we go there, right? So if I'm asking my pancreas to shoot out insulin like every 2 hours, because, you know, 5 small meals a day or whatever it is. So I'm constantly asking my pancreas, here, give me more insulin, give me more insulin. What am I doing for my stress hormones? And how am I? And then I'm running like miles and miles and miles. Our ancestors only ran miles and miles if they were running from something. You know, they walked and they lifted all day long, but that's different. So yeah. So I look back and I'm like, gosh, I was trying to do the right thing, but I didn't get it. And I think that, you know, now going through perimenopause, I wish I had supported my adrenals more because I need those guys like really bad.
Yes. I know. I ran a half marathon once too, and was probably the heaviest I ever was almost at the same time. Mm-hmm. Never lost weight.
Yep.
I was like, I just trained for a half marathon. I should have been shedding the pounds, but I wasn't. I was stressing my body out and I wasn't taking care of my body. And it's not just one, you can't just work out and expect the weight to fall off. Especially when you're doing something like that, that's your body is so stressed, it just can't.
Yeah. I think about how I was eating low calorie, and I did now later on when I tried, I did half marathons. I definitely did not lose weight. It was more of a storage effect, but that's because when I started running, it was way low caloric restriction. And I think my body didn't have what it needed. So it was like, oh, we are storing all of this. And so it wasn't until really yoga was a game changer for me, learning to enjoy walking and just moving my body for the sake of moving my body and like being in tune with it. Mm-hmm. Like, what does my mm-hmm. body need today? Do I need to stretch? Do I need to walk slowly? Do I need to lift and just mm-hmm. put that, you know, the anxious thoughts somewhere in my body? Cause I do think of it that yeah. way sometimes, like, let's just let it all out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you bring up, and that shows up going back to the Dutch test. We can see the effects of that on Dutch with those adrenal yeah. levels.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I love that one with, I almost want to do that more just so I can see the cortisol levels.
Right. Yeah. That surprises so people a lot. Yeah. Especially when you see the flatline cortisol. And so for anybody, a lot of times we think of, I hear this a lot. Oh, I just have high cortisol. I just have high cortisol because I'm stressed and I'm exhausted. But it might be that your body's like, nah, because we get cortisol resistant, just like we get insulin resistant.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're running on adrenaline, but your cortisol is tanked. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you get that wired and tired dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I hope this causes somebody to go, I might need to get these things checked out. So tell me about your program that, and what you work with women on, and specifically like how you do that, just in case somebody's listening going, oh, I really like her and I want to work with her. And yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah. So I'm typically working with a woman who's either like the career woman or busy mom that are experiencing kind of that brain out, that relentless cycle of burnout, and find that they often like, they have dreams, they have things they want to do, and they're trying so hard to do these things, but they're not stopping to care for themselves. And so what I do is to help them just step back for a moment, take some time to care for themselves so that they can go out and do, they can have their cake and eat it too. They can do all the things, but their body is, they're able to care for their body too at the same time. So typically, I work with clients for a 4 month, on a 4 month basis, because we can't do all the work in just 1 month. Starting with foundations, and I'm coaching and supporting them through that. We meet on a monthly basis, or more if needed, and coaching them through all of that. So we're making lifestyle changes to what they're eating. And these are things that are sustainable things that they're going to continue to do afterwards. Some of them are just a temporary thing, but a lot of these things I want them to have ingrained lifestyle habits that they can then carry forth and care for their bodies.
Yeah. And something else that, you know, we didn't even talk about, but I know is important for both of us is faith and having like a mm-hmm. spiritual practice and having a relationship with God and being able mm-hmm. to give all of these things to Him instead of trying to do it ourselves. I think I find even like, and I've grown up in a believing household, and I, you know, I have a strong relationship with God, but I don't give my health issues to Him, right? Like a lot of times mm-hmm. I hold that back mm-hmm. and I'm like, I got this, I can do this. And so I love that you also have that perspective as well. And I think that that's helpful to remember that we're not doing this alone. And He did create mm-hmm. our bodies to be in balance and to heal through all that He has provided for us.
Yes, 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 very much so. And I think I sometimes see the person who starts to get down the rabbit hole with all of this mm-hmm. and feel a little bit overwhelmed, or they've tried a lot of these things and they're still not working. And to know that, yes, God has given us so much to care for our body, and He has created our bodies very special and very unique. And so we still don't understand everything, but we're also like dying bodies.
Yeah.
I mean, not to get like,
but really,
we're not perfect. And that's where we're all headed. So I don't want everyone to get their mind wrapped around, like, I need to hack everything in my health, because that's just going to make you more sick, basically, if you're just trying the next thing and you're not, you know. So I always want to be very careful in that, and knowing, like, our bodies are not perfect and they're not meant to be here forever. But if we are good and careful and care for our bodies with what we have been provided for, you know, that's the best that we can do. And that's what I'm here for.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people fall for that prosperity gospel of wellness, and I get it. I fall for it every single day, probably. Being reminded that I've been given one vessel to live my purpose. And so I can do what I can. That's all I can do. So let me ask you my last question, that I love to ask people. If you could give one piece of advice to spark someone toward wholeness, what would it be?
I think it would be to ultimately, whatever it is that you choose to do, that you know that it is honoring to your body, and that you're putting yourself first, and that you stay true to that, whatever it is.
Yeah, I love that. Now, real fast, your Instagram, your website, how people can contact you.
So mostly everything is Amy Ray Co. C-O. My website is amyray.co. And then social media, everything is Amy Ray Co.
Okay, awesome. Well, I will be sure to have all of that listed in the show notes. And thank you so much for being on. I think this is just a fun deep dive into what we can provide with functional medicine and how functional labs are helpful. Yeah. And I loved hearing your passion. So thanks for being on.
Yeah, thank you. It was a good chat.
The tiniest spark leads to the biggest blaze, and I hope that today's episode sparks you on a journey to healing and wholeness. Thanks for listening to Sparking Wholeness. For more information on what I do and my coaching programs, or maybe just to reach out and say hey, find me at sparkingwholeness.com or on Instagram at sparkingwholeness. Have a fabulous week.